We're going through this series called Blast from the Past. And what we want to do is take these stories that we've heard. Maybe we haven't heard them in a while, but they were like our Sunday school class. Y'all remember the old felt paper, you know, and you would have those. And man, I know that Cliff, he taught many generations of kids using felt illustrations. And so what we want to do is go back to these stories. Because where these stories were foundational for us as kids, they're even more foundational for us as adults. And so we want to dive back into them. And today we're going to be looking in Genesis chapter 22, looking at Abraham. Have you ever gotten a phone call like this where someone leaves kind of open-ended and they say, hey, what are you doing this weekend? And man, does the anxiety not just rise up in you? Like, oh man, that could go a lot of different ways. And so you start to come up with an excuse of, you know what, actually, I think I have to help my mom do something in her yard. I'm not sure what it is. I don't really want to do it. And then they're like, oh, hey, we were going to go to the World Cup. I had an extra ticket. You're like, actually, that can wait. And they're like, no, it's okay. You know, like that anxiety of like, what are you going to do this weekend? Like that idea of like, oh man, I need a few more details before I respond to that, right? Because I want to make sure that I respond the right way. I do want to go to the World Cup. But if it's to help you move again, I might want to help my mom or say that I'm going to help my mom because I'm not going to do that either. But like, I want to leave my options open because I need a few more details. Yesterday, our second son, Max, he was he's 22-ish, I think, 22, volunteer fire department guy there in Strawn, and he was supposed to go do some things yesterday, and he didn't get to. He said he was not feeling well. I was like, oh, man, I'm sorry. He had a fun day planned, and later on, we get back home, and his car is gone. I was like, Max, are you feeling better? And he's like, no, there's a fire, and I got to go take care of it. It was out in La Pan, and I said, oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, he's like, yeah, that's fine. I got to take care of it, and that's what he signed up for, that whenever the call comes, you're going to go handle it, and I think for us as Christ followers, that's the same call that we answered, but yet a lot of times our answer is not that. I think a lot of times that call comes through and we're like, hey, actually, can you give me a few more details, Lord? Like, before I say yes to that, can I make sure that we're on the same page? We want more details before we give our yes. And a lot of times we want him to show us that first step before we'll even agree to it. The sad part, though, is that a lot of times those details don't come beforehand. They require us to step out in faith before he will reveal his plan for us. And so many times we have this idea of what like transformation and an encounter with the Lord is, that has to be this huge mountaintop experience. But what we see is so often that transformation happens in those quiet, ordinary moments where we say yes, and we don't even know what we're saying yes to, but we've said yes to him, so that means I say yes to everything that he has to say, everything that he asks of me. If you've probably have already turned to Genesis 22 at this point, but if you haven't, it is up on our screen up here, but Genesis chapter 22, I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 14 through the New Living Translation. It should be pretty similar to what you have. Chapter 22, verse 1, it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. Verse 4. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. "Stay here with the donkey," Abraham told the servants. "The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, and then we will come back." So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "We have the fire and the wood," the boy said, "but where is the sheep for the burnt offering?" Verse 8, "God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son," Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Yes," Abraham replied, "here I am." Verse 12, "Don't lay a hand on the boy," the angel said. "Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son." Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. He took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means "the Lord will provide." To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Now, if you've spent time around church at all, or if you went through it with Sunday school, this passage, it's difficult. And yet we teach it in Sunday school. It's difficult because it's like, wait a minute, this is Isaac. So the Lord promises Abraham and Sarah a son, and that with this descendant, you're going to have descendants as numerous as the sand is on the seashore. You're going to have unlimited descendants. But what I want you to do right now is I want you to actually take that son that I promised you that you waited decades for, and I want you to take him up onto the mountain. I want you to sacrifice him to me. What? What in the world? And I think that what a lot of times this message is preached on this idea of what are you willing to lay on the altar? But I think if we were to actually ask the deeper question is, when God calls your name, what rises up out of your heart? Not what are you willing to lay on the altar, but what happens, what emotion, what excuse, or what love begins to boil up when you hear your name called by him? There's this one word that's going to set the tone for the whole message today. It's a Hebrew word, and we'll miss it. It occurs three different times in this passage. The first time is in verse 1, where it says that the Lord was going to test Abraham. And he called to him, "Abraham." And here's the word. It says, "Here I am." Now, this word in Hebrew, I know that's three words. I told you one. That's three words. In Hebrew, that word is hineni. Say it with me. Hineni. One more time. I want to make sure the boys in the back are paying attention. Hineni, right? Hineni, this Hebrew word. And this is how Abraham answers not only God, but he answers his son Isaac. And then in verse 11, he's going to answer the angel of the Lord, which is Christ in the Old Testament. But so God again. So he's going to answer, "Here I am," to God. "Here I am" to Isaac. And "Here I am" to God again. And for us in this English language, like "here I am," it's almost like a teacher calling role. Like if you actually said "here" whenever the teacher called on you, y'all probably did. I did not. You know, you mess with them a little bit. But it's like, it's not like he's saying "Abraham," and Abraham's not saying, "Hey God, I'm right here." No, he nay knee is Abraham saying, when God says "Abraham," it's Abraham saying, "Hey, I am present. I am available. I am listening. I am ready. I belong to you." Now can you imagine? God called Abraham, "Hey, what are you doing this weekend?" And Abraham's like, "I'm in." And he goes, "Good. I want you to take your son the one whom you love, you know? I love how the Bible like includes that, the one whom you love, and I want you to sacrifice him. He's like, oh, man. But he doesn't. He doesn't go, oh, man, actually, I had some other things planned. The next morning, he wakes up and he goes. The next morning. So many times we look at this, will Abraham pass the test? It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. It's not what will Abraham pass the test, but it's who has Abraham become after walking with the Lord. The same goes for me. Not what am I willing to lay on the altar, but when the Lord calls my name, what rises up in my heart? Is it this, when he says, Jeff, is it hineni? Whatever you ask, Lord, it's a yes. Or is it Jeff, and you're like, man, you again? What we want to look at today is this word and how he spoke it to these three different people, but how it allows us to see a little bit of who Abraham has become. And the truth is that this word appears, hineni, it appears several other times in the Old Testament. Moses, God speaks to him through a burning bush and he says, Moses. And Moses replies, hineni. Y'all aren't gonna forget that word, right? Like you're gonna be like, man, that dude talked a lot, but all I remember is hineni. I don't know what happened. Hineni. God speaks to Moses. Now can you imagine through a burning bush? And Moses' response is, before you ask, my answer is yes, to a burning bush. And look at what Moses does with the Lord. You have Samuel, who's a young boy. He's sleepy. And he hears his name, Samuel. He gets up and he goes to Eli. He's like, hey, did you call me? He's like, no. Go lay back down. Samuel goes back up. Did you want something? Like trying to put kids to bed, you know, like always getting up. Samuel, he goes back and Eli goes, hey, here's what I want you to do. The Lord is going to speak to you. And what's really cool, 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says that in this season, this time, the visions and words from the Lord were rare. So there's a reason Samuel, one, he's a younger boy, but also the visions and voices are rare, and so that's why he's not recognizing it. And Eli says, hey, I want you to go back, lay back down, the Lord speaking to you. And the Lord says, Samuel. And Samuel replies, hineni. Here I am, your servant is listening. Isaiah chapter 6, there's this part where Isaiah's already done some work for the Lord, and Isaiah had a tough ministry of prophesying to the Israelites, and the Lord's laying out all this stuff, and he's like, this and this and this, and he's like, but who's going to go? And Isaiah replies, hineni. Here I am, send me. I'll be that guy. And that's what we want to look at today is through Abraham and through looking at the Lord. What rises up out of my heart when he asks me to do something? I think sometimes we can look at Abraham, we can look at the people in the Bible and we're like, oh, and we teach these Sunday school stories of Abraham, and like he left everybody. The Lord called him in Genesis chapter 12. Hey, I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. Take up everything. And we're like, woo, go Abraham. Or we read this and we see where Abraham passed the test. He didn't sacrifice his son, but he was willing to. And we're like, yes. But when you actually read more of it, like Genesis chapter 12, hey, I want you to go to a land that I'm going to call you to. And he does. And he gets to the first place, and do you know what he does with his wife, Sarah? He says, hey, you're really pretty. I don't know what's going to happen, so why don't you just be my sister, all right? Let's try to play this off. doesn't work out too well for him. The Lord promises him a son. It doesn't come in his own timing or when he thought that it was going to happen. So he listens to his wife. He takes her servant, has a kid. You come again to Genesis chapter 17 when the Lord visits him, reminds him of the promise, and he laughs. Genesis chapter 20, he goes to another land. He's a little nervous. Sarah's still pretty. So what do they do again? Hey, this is my sister. Like, it went so well the first time. And so like, we have this idea of Abraham is this perfect person. Look, he was willing to sacrifice his son. But no, really what it is it's an encouragement. Because your failures don't disqualify you. They prepare you. In all of those moments where it felt like failure to Abraham, the Lord was preparing him and transforming him. Why? So that he would become a guy that says, "Hinei ni." God is incredibly patient with us. It says that his love endures forever. His mercies are new for us every day. Your failures are what you deem as a failure are not failures. They're preparation because he's not interested. He didn't do this because he needed Isaac. God didn't say, "Hey, I want you to go kill him because I need him up here for me." He did it because he's forming and shaping sons and daughters. It's about relationship with him, about getting to this place where we say, before you even ask, my answer is yes. So the first thought is in this with hinei ni, it's availability. A surrendered heart says yes before it knows the plan. If you look at the order, Abraham, God called, "Yes, here I am. Take your son, your only son whom you love." A surrendered heart says yes before we know the full details of the plan. So many times I feel like when God, this is just for me, right? Like when God tells me something, I have to check my calendar and my bank account first. I'm like, "Well, hey, Jeff, I want you to do that." And you're like, "Hey, before I can say yes to that, let me just check a couple of things." And as long as it fits into my timeline, like what else, what the free time I have in the day, then I can say yes to that. As long as it fits into the budget, like then I'll say yes to that. As long as it works for me, man, then I'm all yours. Right? Y'all have friends like that that do that? You don't like those friends, do you? They're not good friends. You're like, "Man, it's only on your terms. That's the only way that it works." And so many times we treat God like that. But what he's asking is, are you available for him? Because faith is not waiting till you see everything laid out from A to Z. Faith is stepping out, trusting him. Because the truth is that God very rarely gives his direction before our availability. God rarely gives us our direction before we give him our availability. Think about Peter. Peter sees the boat, the water, and he steps out in faith, not knowing what's going to happen. I think back to Joshua chapter 3. Yeah, Joshua 3. When the Israelites are about to cross the Jordan, and they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant. Do you guys remember the story that where it says that, Like for Moses in the Red Sea, they stopped in front of it and the Red Sea parted and they walked on dry land. But for this one, God said, hey, the water's not going to stop until you put your feet in the water. God very rarely gives his direction before we give our availability. So many times we're acting like, hey, Lord, if you just give me a little bit of an opening and then I'll see that it's okay. And we're waiting for that little bit of the opening. But what the priest did is they stepped into the flowing water and then it began to stop up. It's interesting too, because in Joshua chapter 3, it says that the water begins to dam up from a town called Adam all the way to the Dead Sea, 15 to 20 miles. Now, this is just a freebie, but what can you imagine a city named Adam, right? What came through Adam, it says? Death. Dead Sea. 15 to 20 miles. Dry ground. So that when we step out, that in between death, there's life. Psalm 23, he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. You have this idea that so often we're saying, Lord, I'm available if it fits into with what I've already got planned out over the next 10 years. I'm available if this, if that, if I can stop having kids, then I can do those things that you've called me to. If I just get this next promotion and get this extra money, then I'll be able to do and give like you want me to do and give, and I can do all those things. That's not what God's after. He's after the people that say yes. Before you even ask, my answer is yes. It's all throughout Scripture. God asks for trust before sight. There is a freedom when you quit trying to control everything. When you just say, yes, Lord. Whatever you say, it's yes. Have you ever had those moments with the Lord where you've just said, Lord, whatever you say, it's yes. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to fight. How much sweeter are those times than when you argue, fight, pull, try to do everything you can not to do what he's asking you to do? What we're asking today is, Lord, I don't need you to explain yourself. I don't need all of the next 25 steps and plans and all that. All I need is you to call my name. Because what if the greatest obstacle to hearing his voice isn't that he's not speaking? But maybe it's because your heart has only said yes to certain things. Maybe the reason you're not hearing him is because you've blocked him off from these certain areas of your life and you're like, Lord, I just don't hear you. Oh, that's because you're not letting him speak into bitterness and unforgiveness and fear. When availability changes everything, because when you're available, obedience is no longer an issue. And that's where the Holy Spirit is inviting us into today, to give him our yes before he even has to explain himself, to offer ourselves to him fully. And the story continues that after Abraham gets his instruction, he wakes up the next morning. Takes two servants and a son and a donkey. They begin a 3-day journey. What we're going to see is in Isaac, when Abraham says, here I am, one, we see that hineni is about availability to the Lord, but it's also about being present to others. So, now, I want you to imagine, the Lord says, Abraham, yes, it's a yes. Hey, sacrifice your son. Okay. The next morning he wakes up and he loads up and he starts the trek. Now for me, like when y'all hear this story, when y'all have taught this story, and you can just like yell out an age, all right? Audience participation is great. Like when you hear Abraham and Isaac's story, what is the age of the kid that comes to your mind? Huh? 7, 12, 10, right? Bam, same thing. But when you look at it a little further, they get to the bottom and Isaac has to carry the wood up. Now the wood for a burnt offering was about 60 pounds. Maybe your 7-year-old can. My 10-year-old, not so much yet. 15-year-old girl, nope, not going to happen. Max could. Noah, maybe, questionable. Depends on the temperature outside. Like we've pictured 7, 10, 12-year-olds, but when you look at it, and then the very next chapter of Genesis, it says that Sarah dies. She was 127. She was 90 when she had Isaac. So 37 is the highest, and like 15 is the lowest, is the age range of Isaac. So now, does this change the story in your mind a little bit? Of like, I'm thinking like this guy taking Ollie, like, okay, hey, I got to take this guy and strap him down onto an altar. Okay, that's one thing. What would make it a little more difficult? Well, maybe not. You can get up, Ollie, unless you're just laying there. What would make it a little bit more difficult is to take this 22-year-old son. I mean, I could still do it. 24. I could still do it in a heartbeat, you know. But but to take him and him to carry, you can sit down. For him to carry 60 pounds of wood up to the altar. And so, like, can you imagine what Abraham is going through? His emotions of like, 3 days I'm walking with Isaac. Isaac doesn't know where we're going. I know where we're going. Abraham is carrying like this promise of Isaac. And he's also carrying this like, hey, I said yes. And they get to the place and Isaac says, hey, Dad. And Abraham says, hineni. Before you even ask, the answer is yes. So when we look at what we see in Abraham is one that our yes is not just to him, to where we're just available to him, but where we're present with others. Right, like the emotions of like building an altar, building a fire. And your son says, hey, Dad. Like, that would be rough, right? Because, I mean, I know the question he's going to ask. Like, hey, we've got the wood, we've got the fire, but where's the animal? Like, I know that's what he's going to ask. But my aunt, like, I think for me, I probably would have just ignored that, right? Like, hey, Dad, let's just keep working here. Dad. Like, I probably would have just ignored that, but Abraham doesn't. He says, here I am, Isaac. Whatever you need. It's easy for us to look past this verse, to look past the emotions, but I think one thing that we look at is, man, Abraham was fully present with his son. He was fully yes to God and fully present with his son. And man, isn't that what's so hard in our day and age? I mean, we can be across the table from somebody, but in a completely different world. We can be having a conversation with someone while staring at a screen. But the truth is that we cannot remain fully available to God while remaining emotionally unavailable to others. I know you guys, right? Like, and you're like, yeah, but you don't know what I've got going on. Like, there's a lot. Yeah, I know, but I see Abraham, who's building an altar and a fire to sacrifice his son because the Lord said to do it, and he was still fully present. Now, that's not on, I don't have that on my schedule for this week, so I really don't have an excuse to be emotionally unavailable to those around me. Love says I'm here because love slows down enough to see people. The more available we become to God, the more available we become to people. And I think those things are connected. Like sometimes we want to separate this idea of our vertical relationship from our horizontal relationship. Like, it's like, man, if I could just go get alone with God, then everything is going to be great. And don't get me wrong, there is time for prayer and for solitude and get worship and getting alone by yourself. But you cannot be fully available for God and totally dismiss the people that he's called you to. 1 John says, whoever does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. If we spend all of this time away from others and like, man, I just got to get alone with him, and our love for one another hasn't grown, then we've missed something. If in your time away with God, you haven't become more loving, more compassionate, more kind, then we've missed something. If you go back to that Joshua 3 story where they're crossing the Jordan, you read through that and it says that the priest stood in the middle while the people passed through. If you take this idea of hine ni means that I am present for y'all. For whoever the Lord calls me to, my answer is yes, and I'm here and I'm present for you. Then by becoming present for others, it's as if I'm standing in the middle of the Jordan and I'm bridging the gap so that they can get to where they are, to where the Lord has called them to be. If the priest just went on ahead, the water would have closed up. If we rush ahead for God and we forget about y'all, what good is it? That was a lot. You good? Okay. Why did he check on her? So who's been trying to get your attention? Your spouse, your kids, a friend, a coworker? Maybe one of the most spiritual things you'll do this week is not preaching a sermon or leading a Bible study. But maybe the most spiritual thing you'll do this week is listening to someone who needs to be heard. Not trying to solve their problems, but just sitting there with them. Putting your phone down and looking them in the eyes. Presence is one of the greatest expressions of love. People may not remember every word you said, but they'll remember that you were there. The last one comes from verse 11. He binds up his 24-year-old son, binds him up to the altar, raises the knife, and an angel of the Lord says, Abraham, Abraham. And he replies, what? There we go. I was hoping y'all were going to get it. Hine ni, right? Hine ni. Whatever you ask, the answer is yes. Abraham's response is the same at the beginning and the middle and the end of the story. God calls and Abraham responds. On our trip to New York, we took two cars up there, and I don't like GPS, mainly because I feel like I'm smarter than it most of the time, which was proven incorrect several times this trip especially. But we would get close to where we're going, and then I think I would have it like memorized, and I'd be like, all right. So then I would just turn it off, and then I would make a wrong turn. And I called Lauren. I was like, that, because I like Apple Maps, right? Because I just do. She likes Google Maps because it's wrong most of the time. But for this trip, I got Google Map. And so I was like, I don't know what happened. I took a left. It didn't tell me to, or it told me to take a left, and now we're in the wrong spot. And she goes, no, actually, it told you to take a left, and you chose not to. I was like, okay, that's probably more accurate, is really what happened. But isn't that how we are a lot of times with the Lord? With the Lord, we're like, he gives us a step, and we're like, all right, hey, that's enough. I got it, Lord. Just give me that first step, and I can run with it. But what we see in Abraham, Abraham, I need you to take your son and sacrifice him. Abraham's like, okay. Next day, gets up and goes. And what we see is that Abraham was willing to continue to listen. He didn't think, no, I know what I'm doing now. God told me to do this, I'm just going to do this. He has that same reaction. Whatever you say, my answer is yes. There's no hesitation. There's no delay or no distraction. Because Abraham was fully committed to God. He was open to whatever God said next. Well, the story is not about a sacrifice. It's about listening. Because the same God who said, go to the mountain, said, stop. The same God who said, take your son, now says, don't lay a hand on the boy. And Abraham obeys both of those commands. Why? Because mature faith is teachable. It keeps listening even after taking the first step of obedience. Jesus said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice. Not my sheep heard my voice. My sheep hear my voice. The present tense, continual present tense. My sheep hear my voice and they keep hearing my voice. Our Christian life cannot be built on a single encounter with God, but it's built on a lifetime of listening to him, waking up every day and saying, hine ni, there we go. Yesterday's obedience cannot replace today's dependence. Every day becomes another opportunity to say, here I am. Here's how we respond. The question that we started the whole thing with is, when God calls your name, what comes out of your heart? Would you be available to him this week? Like would you wake up? Maybe it's from a nap today, but let's assume you don't get one. Let's assume that you go to sleep. You wake up tomorrow. Before you check email, social media, whatever, you say, Father, whatever you have to say today, my answer is yes. Be available for him this week. Don't ask why, when, how, who. Just give it all to him. Number two, be present with others this week. Abraham was available to God, but he was also available to Isaac. People who listen, people who notice, people who slow down, and people who make room. That's who we want to become this week. And then the last one is this. Be open to his voice again. Yes, here I am, Lord. Before you say it, it's yes. But Abraham said, Hineni, at the beginning, at the middle, and at the end. Some of us start really well. And we get into our own mind and we think we have it all figured out. He says, hey, go and do this. And he's still talking to us, but we're so busy doing it that we've missed him through it all. The Holy Spirit still speaks. Are we listening? Are we going to become the type of people that say, before you even ask, my answer is yes? Because that's what he's looking for. Let me pray real fast. Father, we just come before you right now. We thank you for your word. Father, would you just reveal to us anything in us that, even just hearing the message of whatever you have to say, my answer is yes. Any of that fear that might come up. Father, we say we trust you. You are trustworthy. We want to be people that say yes before you even have to explain it. Father, help us to get there. In your name we pray. Amen.